relationship with the Father and with our siblings. Whether we really care about how deep the relationship is or not, we still desire that. It's our innate desire from God to need a relationship. And when the relationship isn't there, it hurts us. You know, as a toddler, we usually say, well, as they're growing up, we say, oh, this is mine, my toy. And we teach them. No, we share. We have a relationship with others, whether they are our siblings, whether they are family members at all. And then a teenager starts. And many of you know that we're going through the teenage process right now. But we've learned that from the time that Angela and I were dating, it was called dating then, and then it was called going out. And, you know, used to be called boyfriend and girlfriend. Well, now we're finding out it's called, no, we're just talking. We're just talking, Dad. And it's like, the situation from a relationship has changed. But a teenager also seeks friendship in a relationship. Have you ever watched a basketball team or a baseball team or a football team or any kind of sports team, cheerleading team, that they desire that relationship with each other? And it's not in a romantic way. It's normally in a way that, hey, I want somebody I can talk to, that I can visit with, that I can do things with, that I can do things for. And then as we grow older, we look for that all-important romantic relationship. Lordy, lordy. My wife and I, when we were younger, quite a bit younger, we came to a point in our lives where relationships with romantic means wasn't happening. We didn't like the ones that we were in. So what did we do? In opposite churches, in different churches, we were both praying, God, send someone to me. Send me somebody that I can go to church with, that I can worship you with. And we can place you first in our lives. And it wasn't very long after that that God sent Angela and I together. And God said, let this union be what it is. And we placed God first in our marriage. And the relationship grew. In Genesis, we were talking just a minute ago about Adam and Eve. And when you're in a relationship, it always grows. And that's why that's called the beginning. It's because that's where it started. In Exodus, we look at building a relationship with Moses and Israel. And what does God say to Moses? He says, I'm going to give you these rules up on Mount Sinai. It says there's 10 commandments here. And in Exodus 23, he says, you will have no other gods before me. What that tells me is, I'm a jealous God. Hey, I want my relationship to be with you and you with me, and nothing should come before that. And that's what Moses was wanting to do. At that time, he was like, yeah, God, I'm with you, dude. But then we look at Luke in the New Testament, Luke 10:27. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles with me, it's in Luke 27. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And this is Jesus talking. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. You might know it. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, God wants us in a relationship with Him. that doesn't stop there. He wants our relationship to be with other people too. Relationships can be confusing because sometimes we have a past. Now, I'm going to date myself just a little bit here because I'm going to jump back to the Lion King. How many of you guys remember the Lion King? Yeah. When Rafiki hits Simba across the top of the head with a stick, and he says, "Ouch, that hurt." And Rafiki looks at him and says, "Yeah, but it was in the past." Our past can do two things. It can help us learn from it, or we can run away from it. We've got to stop running away and start standing up for ourselves. We've got to be in these relationships that builds us up and doesn't tear us down. I heard a story one time about a young man who had anger issues at school. Every day he wanted to get into a fight. Every day he was mad at everybody around him. So his young father said, "Okay, son, this is what we're going to do. Every time you get angry, I've got a wooden fence around my farm. You're going to put a nail in that wooden fence. Every time you get angry, you go put a nail in that fence. No matter what, if you are angry, you go put a nail in that fence." The first day, the kid sounded like a jackhammer out there putting nails in the fence. The next day, a little bit less. Each day went by, it was less and less until the boy finally realized, "Hey, I don't have anger issues anymore." So he went to his father and he said, "Okay, Dad, I think I've conquered anger." The dad said, "For each day that you go without being angry, pull a nail out." And he said, "Okay." Well, after several months, the young man had all the nails pulled out of the fence. And he said, "Dad, this fence has all these holes in it." And he said, "What am I supposed to learn from that?" And the dad said, "Your past is your past. And it remains in your past. And it's always going to scar you. But what you can do with your past is help others. Get off your hiney and quit doing nothing about it and go help those who struggle with anger." And he goes, "Dad, I think I can do that." So he left and he did that. The Israelite people, Adam, Moses, David, and the list goes on and on. If you think those were perfect people, boy, you need to read your Bible some more. Their relationships with God at times were very dark. How many people would think that God can't use me? So we look at the people that God used. He used lawyers. He used murderers. He used thieves. He used doctors. He used fishermen. He used rebels. If you've ever read the Bible in the book of Jonah, man, that dude was a rebel. God said, "Go this way." He said, "I'm going that way." But God put him back in his place. When we don't build the relationship with God, when God tells us to go this way and we go that way, you're going to go that way a long ways until that relationship comes back to God. Because God is going to chase you. He's going to search for you. He's going to continue working with you. And eventually, God is going to say, "I got him right here. I got him now. Claude, I've got you, and you're going to serve me. I don't care if you want to go over there. I don't care if I wanted you to go over there and you went the opposite way. I'm going to use you over there. I'm going to stop you in your tracks, and I'm going to use you." Because when we run from God, in our relationship with God, when we run from God, He's going to eventually catch up with us. But I hate to tell you, He's already there. He's just waiting for you to get to the point. He's going to wait for you there until you come to the decision, hey, I need Him. God doesn't need us. He wants us. It's a desire of God's for us to have a personal relationship with Him. We're 3 weeks into the new year. I know, as well as most people do, the idea of, I'm going to start anew in this year. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to start doing this and start doing that. Each year we make those resolutions. And by the third week, they're over. That resolution that I had to lose weight, it's over. That resolution that I had to exercise more, that's over. Well, we need to set forth a new resolution. With a new year creates a new chapter in our lives. A new chance to grow in our relationship with Christ. If there's something missing in your life or you feel like something isn't quite right, it could be that your relationship with Christ is damaged because you're not letting Him in. Not that He has left you, because I could tell you for a fact, no matter where you go or what you do, Christ is there with you. He hasn't left you. It's because you have left Him. Now, if you think about it, and everybody does, what are some things that we can do to help our relationship? You know, God is always there and listening to us. And if you haven't noticed, I really feel like I have some Italian in me. Because I get emotional. And when I'm passionate about something, I want to tell everybody. And when I'm passionate about something, everybody, they might smile at me and think I'm crazy, but they're going to hear me. So I want to try three things. Three things that you could do to help your relationship with Christ. First of all, read your scriptures. Sit down. Have a sit-down time where you read Scripture. And I hate to tell you this and be the bearer of bad news, because I know most people, when they go through school, they're like, whoo, got out of high school, now I'm done. Whoo, so happy now. I don't have to study anymore. Guess what? We're going to continue our education. If you want to draw closer to God in your relationship, read His Scripture. Read the stories that are here and how God has used people like you. No matter what you've done, people like you to take His message to other people. But not only study it, memorize it. When we were kids, what was one of the things that we always had to do, whether it be in Sunday school or Bible school? We had to memorize Scripture. Why do you think that was? That's so when we get older, we can remember it. And we can continue to memorize key verses to strengthen you. How many of you guys have heard the words, I love you? Now the word love. The word love is not a noun. It is a verb. It is an action verb. The word love shows action. Take the scripture, John 3:16. Everybody should know that one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved. He loved us so much that His verb went to the cross for each one of us. And each one of us take it for granted a lot of the time. How can we show love? How can we show love to God? How do you show love to God? By doing God's work. That means serving others. That means taking His message to other people. Helping the less fortunate. Helping those who are in need. So number one in our relationship, building our relationship with God, is read Scripture. Number two is to pray. In order to have a relationship with somebody, you have to talk to them. You have to engage in conversation with them. You can't expect to gain a relationship if all you're going to do is sit there and wait for God to talk to you. It ain't happening, folks, because you're not going to hear Him. He can talk to you till He's blue in the face, as we put it. And you're not going to hear Him because you don't have that relationship with Him, because you don't talk to Him. Driving to work, you talk to God and say, "Man, your nature is beautiful today, God." When you're at home, sitting by the television, you say, "God, these programs. You have over 1,000 programs a day that are on relationships. And I just want to do one thing and build my relationship with You." So turn the TV off and say, "Okay, God, I'm talking to You now. It's Your time. Your scheduled time is right now." Do you schedule a time for your friends? Or do you just, "Hey, how's it going? We're just talking," remember? In the dating world of teenagers, we're just talking. God wants us to just talk to Him. Anytime you feel the need, anytime you feel the desire, He wants you to say, "Hey, I'm having a good day, God. Thank You. Hey, God, you know, I'm going into this meeting today and it's going to be rough, and I know some things are going to be said, and I don't want to engage in that. I don't want to have to pick a side." For God, He loves everybody. So when we read the Scripture and we pray and we talk to God, we're building our relationship. But what if I told you there was a third one? What else could we do? You might say, "Jeff, what else could we do?" Well, here's my Italian side. It's your emotions. You need to spread God's word with joy. Now, I don't know about you, but any student that I've ever seen come through our school system, if the teacher is teaching a subject and they're monotone and they talk like this all the time and they just sit there and just tell you the story of the history of the Russian government, kids get bored. You would get bored. If somebody came to me and said, "You know, God loves you. God wants your life. God wants you to be in His life with the relationship." Are you going to do it? Probably not. We have to show some emotion. If you truly believe in something, you're going to be passionate about it. If you talk to Patriot fans today, I saw some, you know, little uniforms today. If you talk to Patriot fans, they are passionate. Especially today, the day of the AFC Championship game. So, passion. When you see their passion for the Patriots, you can realize that it's the passion that creates the movement of liking the Patriots. It's like when you go to a Cardinal game, the St. Louis Cardinal game, and you're sitting there, and the St. Louis Cardinals, whether you're a fan of baseball or not, all of a sudden, the passion of the people around you excites you. And you get excited, whether you like baseball or not. Some people think it's nine innings of boredom. But when they're sitting there, the passion is all around them, and they get caught up in it. And when the seventh inning comes along and the song is beginning to play, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," they're singing it before they know it. And they're like, "What's the deal?" It's because the passion is around them. When spreading God's love in your life, a lot of times people are afraid to show emotion. You might see young kids when they're first baptized and they're filled with emotion from God. You'll see them weep a tear. You'll see that when we really love something, we're going to show emotion towards that. We all spend time in our life where something drags us down and makes it to where our emotion goes away. Our prayer life goes away. Our reading the Scripture goes away. We have times in our life that happens. That's where your relationships inside the church has to be the strongest, because they will help you build you back up. God has given each one of you a purpose on this earth. And it's not just to stand by and watch. It's to do an action of love. An action toward other people. Now, no matter where you're coming from, God has a plan. And this plan can include or will not include Him in it. But His plan for you is to have Him in it. And He's going to use you. And I don't know if you guys have ever said it, but I have. God, use me. And then I stopped in my tracks. And I was like, what did I just say? Holy cow. When you say that to God, be prepared for whatever He throws at you. Be prepared. The only way you can be prepared is by reading your Scripture, memorizing it, praying to God, and creating those joyous emotions that you need to sell your product. How many of you guys believe Christians are like salesmen? Well, in today's society, it's getting worse and worse, and you're going to have to be a salesman. You're going to have to sell this book to other people. You're going to have to sell the knowledge of this book to other people. And you're going to have to sell the love of Christ to other people. They're not just going to say, "Yeah, I want it. It's free, I want it." No, you're going to have to sell it to them. You're going to have to prove it to them. You're going to have to live the life. You're going to have to walk the walk and talk the talk and not be ashamed of it. And we sit here every week and we learn from Dan. And we learn from Dan. But on Monday, everything that we learned from Dan on Sunday, we have not put into practice. I'm here to tell you that if it's not put into practice, it goes by the wayside. You lose it. It's like a basketball player. And Pat can probably contest to this. If you don't practice your shot, eventually, you're going to lose it. Now, it might take you 2 or 3 weeks to get it back. But eventually, you're going to lose it. If you don't use the emotions that God gives you when you come out of the baptism, you're going to lose those emotions. God never said He wanted you to be a dull person. He just said, "I want you to do be my feet, be my hands, and spread my word." He never said, here you are, now that you're in the kingdom of God, sit on your duff and watch everybody around you. He never said that. Listening to God. Are we listening? You know, I was teaching a class probably about a year ago, a Sunday school class with Curtis, and we were talking about the subject, you know, if we'll just open up our ears and our hearts and our minds. And I paused right there and I thought, Curtis, there's a scripture here. Oh yeah, it's love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So if we open up our minds, open up our ears to God, all of it, then we can hear Him. But the only way to do that is to build that relationship with God. Now, some people have said that their relationship with God is pretty good. Is your relationship with God pretty good? Or is your relationship with God awesome? We've got to get emotional. We've got to sell God to others. Because if we're not passionate about it, are other people even going to want it? They're going to, if they see you're passionate about something, they're going to say, hey, Natalie, I want what you got. Hey, Carmen, I want what you got. Hey, Dolly, I want what you got. You guys have something that I don't have. That's how you sell Christ to others. You show them. You show them God's love. You show them that you are passionate and that you want God to be in their life also. You want it in their life so bad that you wish you could make their decision and say, hey, I accept God for them. Woo! That's what you want to do. As Christians, we need to stop being so timid and stop being so blasé, because we need to get emotional about God. What has God done for you today? He brought the sunshine to you. What has God done for you today? He allowed you to drive to church and not had any accidents around you. He allowed you to get up in the morning and see the sunshine. He got up in the morning. He allowed you to get up and just wake up. What has God done for me today? He's done everything. Everything that I've ever asked of God has done for me. Now, as we go throughout life, there are things that come up. And you'll say, what things are that? Things that the devil throws at us. And I'm going to use that term, the devil, yes. Because he is there. And he's all the time throwing darts at you. And as Christians, we have to dodge those darts, you think. What if I told you, you don't have to dodge anymore when you're on God's side? You've got a shield. You've got the Bible. You've got a shield that hits God's, or those darts from the devil, and they just bounce off. Because no longer has the devil any power over you when you are one of God's children. Because he conquered him on the cross. He took his blood and he said, here. Devil, conquer that. And he can't. God's blood has rescued us from all of the sin that we have done. So no matter where you're coming from, what has happened in your life, God still wants the ultimate relationship with you. And it's an individual matter. You can't look at your parents, you can't look at your siblings, you can't look at your spouse and say, God wants it for you. Because it's an individual thing. We know that he wants it for everybody else. But until you take the initiative and say, I want it. I want it. Then it's not going to happen. Did you know that God could say, you are going to accept me. And you are going to do this. And you are going to worship me and everything else. After all, God created us. He can make us do that. You're going to bow down every time you see a cross. You're going to do everything possible for me. But God didn't want that. God wants us to make our own decisions. He could make us, but He wants you to choose Him. He wants you to choose Him over everything else. At this time, as the worship team is going to lead us in a song, there'll be an elder out those back doors. There's a prayer bench right back there. If you're in desire for a relationship with Christ, with God, please exit out those doors and visit with an elder. Or pray at the prayer bench. Pray that God is there and He's listening. And pray that He'll take your bad stuff away, because we don't want the bad stuff in our lives. This is open to anybody. If you need Christ, visit with somebody. Don't leave this building until you have the opportunity to talk to somebody about how you can become a Christian and how you can build a relationship with Christ. Those people that often work here at the church, you'll see in the background, you'll see the soundboard operators, you'll see everybody. Anybody in this building is a worker of God's. Reach out to them. God wants this relationship with you. He desires it, just like He desired the relationship with Adam over 2,000 years ago. He desires it. He wants it. So stop being stubborn. Stop telling us, I'll do it tomorrow. God wants you now. God wants you to make your decision right now. So please, make that step. Take that chance and become part of God's children.